listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, everybody. So great to have all of you with us. Browns Nation, we always could count on you. You are very alive and with a lot of spunk today, and we're glad to have you part of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Michael Reguy. Nathan Zagura is down in the locker room right now as he's preparing interviews with the Browns as they come off the practice field. You'll see all those on clevelandbrowns.com, by the way, so make sure you check that out. Matt Wilhelm's here. You can get him on Twitter at MattWilhelm57. Yours truly at Michael Reguy. Make sure when you tweet the show today, and we're going to get to the segment, as a matter of fact, here in a matter of moments, but make sure you, it's Mailbag Wednesday, so make sure, and also at Browns_daily, do make sure you hashtag the show Mailbag. And with that in mind, let's bring our colleague Emmett Golden in here. Emmett, making sure everything runs smoothly under the direction, of course, of big fella Jason Gibbs back at ESPN Cleveland. Emmett, what's going on today, man? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How you been?
It's all good. It's all good. What do you have on this hashtag Mailbag Wednesday for us, Emmett? I got a feeling a lot of Browns Nation chiming in with all the things we laid out today.
Well, first up, we have Mike. Mike wants to know, do you think Mingo will ever come around, or do we need to build a fire under the front seven by moving him or even benching him?
I will say this about Barkevious Mingo. I think that he is not your prototypical outside linebacker that can both support the run as well as rush the pass. What I would love to personally see, and I think that this is a great time in the season with him coming off the injury, not only will he be able to get healthy in time, but I think for the staff to evaluate the pluses and minuses of his performance thus far in the season and see if they can figure out a way to use him better. Because I do not feel he is a true three-down outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, able to support the run as well as rush the passer. And I also think that he needs growth as a pass rusher as well, meaning more tricks, more counter moves. And I think that he's just a little calculated at this point.
Yeah, I like that, calculated and robotic.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit stiff, Matt.
Yes.
A little
yes.
bit stiff. Here's the thing, though, and you've heard me on these airwaves for many years, but this is just one of my beliefs. I hear, you know, this guy's a bust, that guy's a bust after they've played, you know, 5-6 football games, or even you can't just flush guys, especially guys that you drafted in the top 10.
Correct.
Like Barkevious Mingo and everybody's concerned now about Justin Gilbert. Now, that doesn't mean we just brought him out. Matt brought him out. I'll bring him out. That doesn't mean that there are not obvious concerns there. But, Matt, to me, that goes back to then, I think, in these kind of cases, and especially in the National Football League, now you're really going to find out about what you have on that coaching staff, because you have got to develop players.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What does that come down to? Coach them up, man. You got to coach them up. Okay. But for me, it's at least a couple of years. At least a couple of years before I'm going to say about any kid that he can't play. Because everybody's all too quick to, there's a bust. Now, does Barkevious Mingo right now? You just said it. And no one better than you than to say it. Does he have limitations? Well, damn right he's got limitations.
Sure.
They're going to have to really coach him up and maybe rework him from everything he was doing at LSU that gained him attention to be a number 6 overall pick in the draft.
That's exactly where I was going, is because I talked about it last year when I was covering the draft when we picked Barkevious Mingo, and what I talked about was those defensive end conversions into a true outside linebacker in a 3-4. Barkevious Mingo played with his hand on the ground every single snap at LSU.
Huge
and all
difference.
Of a sudden, and then all of a sudden you're expected to be on a three
at 235
pounds. At 235 pounds, rushing from a 2-point stance, so he's not able to develop as
on
much velocity,
yeah,
you know, as he would with his hand on the ground, you know, you know, bursting out of that stance. He's now doing it. And then also, too, just his overall awareness of those things around him. When your hand's in the ground, you've got that tunnel vision. You've got your gap. You've got your angle to the passer. And when you're standing up, it's, you know, you're seeing everything. You're seeing so much more. So he's got a lot on his plate. And the one thing that I think that this staff now, from Ray Farmer down, has no problem with, they want to win football games. That is a number one on their list. They're not going to appease the fans. They're not going to appease a guy, whether you were drafted first or you were drafted last or you're an undrafted free agent. They're going to put the guys on the field that give them an opportunity to win. And if Barkevious Mingo is not that guy, we will have a first-round draft pick, number six overall, watching from the sideline.
That's exactly right. And that's the way it should be.
Absolutely.
But you don't stop looking to develop him.
No.
And understand and realize, okay, there's a lot of work that's got to be done here.
And to the
so
and
roll
to the
up your sleeves and let's go to work.
Exactly. And to the same
and
point,
that young fella's got to have it in his heart and between his ears.
He
too.
Definitely does. And because this, that being said, is as the number one pick, you know, six overall, he'll get the benefit of the doubt time after time after time, which goes to your point, is this is years in the making. So he didn't jump out, you know, off the map like a Jadeveon Clowney might or these other guys, you know what I mean? So what?
Right.
We've got an investment in him. You know, we'd all love
of
to have
course.
that knock out the park, slam dunk, home run.
But that's not reality.
That's not reality.
It's not reality
no,
in the NFL.
Not. No, it's not. So we have time and we have patience. The good thing we do, we have Paul Kruger and Jabal Sheard, who I think are the two best outside linebackers on this football team.
No doubt.
That should deserve a significant chunk of those reps.
No doubt. And maybe, we'll have to see, maybe that's one of the areas Mike Pettine was alluding to. All right, Emmett Golden, what else do we have here on our Mailbag Wednesday on Cleveland Browns Daily?
Rudy tweets at Browns_Daily. His one word is surprised. He says it's twofold, surprised by the good offensive play and by the poor defensive play.
I understand that. I completely understand it because, you know, that script was supposed to be flipped.
Absolutely.
Everybody thought this defense would be dominant and the offense would struggle and the Browns would be looking to win 16-13 games.
You're right.
It's been anything but.
You're right. And if anybody attended one training camp practice, what did we see? We saw an offense struggling to move the ball,
mm-hmm.
struggling to open up running lanes. Brian Hoyer's throwing picks. Johnny Manziel's, you know, overthrowing errant balls and
just
throwing interceptions.
Just understand it.
Versus that defense because it was so suffocating. And now, as you said, it's totally flipped. We see a defense with holes in it. You know, not holes that can't be fixed. These holes can't be patched. They need to be fixed. And an offense that is flourishing. And again, as you and I talked during the break, I think Kyle Shanahan deserves a huge round of applause, as well as Brian Hoyer continuing what we all thought he was capable of becoming.
Absolutely. And I was telling Matt during the break, the one thing that and I listen, I've always known it was there because I've known the young man, as I've said repeatedly, for a long, long time. But you're starting to see, I think, now the Brian Hoyer football mentality / personality really start to take hold with this Cleveland Browns offense. And most specifically in the huddle and then on the sidelines when the defensive unit's on the football field, you see him very animated. You see him very engaged. A lot of times he's doing the bulk of the talking. And where did that come from? Again, those 3 years that he spent with Tom Brady, who, listen, if I'm in that room too, I'm going to say, well, you know, again, it's not about copying, but if my personality can get as infectious as a guy who's going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks in all time in the history of the game, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to do that.
Right, and I really think what that is to me is he's finally has a defined role, and that is he is the sole starter at the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns. There's no more competition. There's no more, well, I'm only starting because of an injury, or there's only, you know, all those things that have held him back and why he's been brushed under the rug so many times, you know, signed and cut by, you know, multiple teams.
Yes.
He's finally found a home. It just so happens to be his backyard, and he's performing at a level that will win you football games with guys that in some cases are the bottom dwellers of a roster.
Well, sure. And again, as I say all the time, believe me, Brian will be the first to tell you that
I missed a couple of things.
Sure.
I left a couple of plays out there. I wish I had this ball placement back. But you know what? If you really think about it for a moment, that's going to be every quarterback, every Sunday. You think Peyton Manning doesn't think he wishes he had a few things, especially in the first three quarters back, that he didn't get accomplished against Seattle on Sunday, just like he didn't get accomplished in the Super Bowl when they got, of course.
100%.
I mean, that's going to be there. So to, you know, tear down and critique, but for me, it's big picture.
Yes.
Big picture. About, you know, and I love that kind of personality because he's making this offense his.
And he's making everybody around him better.
That's well, and yes, and that's the big, big key. Emmett Golden, what else on this Mailbag Wednesday on Cleveland Browns Daily as we hashtag it with Mailbag?
I got one more for you guys from R. Allen. He says, obviously the defense is a priority right now. What about substituting our 100 cornerbacks frequently to keep them fresh?
Well,
I don't
100 quarterbacks as in having too many on the roster. Or start 12, right?
I don't necessarily think that fatigue by any means for any of the corners thus far in the season is an issue. I think with some corners, it's confidence. And that being our number 8th overall pick, Justin Gilbert, it's confidence. It's playing within himself. It's understanding what the coaches are trying to convey to him in regards to technique. And also too, the one other thing that gets overlooked a lot is when you're a young player, it's evaluating the guy that you're going to play against and studying that individual. You know, so you have a beat on their routes, on the way in which they run their routes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think, you know, Joe Hayden, you can't say he's not in shape. You can't. Buster Skrine, we talked about him yesterday as well. Buster Skrine's name is not getting called a lot because he's playing extremely well. Probably
sure.
The best out of all those corners.
Yeah, and Buster is the one, as you notice, Buster corner blitzes a lot.
Yes.
Right? You've seen that? When the Browns go into their, and Matt, as Matt was talking about earlier, maybe we'll see a little bit more, you know, their zone blitz scheme package dialed up. Or maybe, you know, even their man-free opportunities. Buster Skrine's coming off the edge and off that corner quite a bit.
He is, and he loves it. And I'd love to see more safety blitzes. I'd love to see more corner blitzes. And that is when you truly know you're a confident defense. You know, when you can dig deeper into that defensive playbook, it gives that offense one more thing to prepare for. You know, and in most cases, it's like when the ball's on the hash, hey, are they going to bring Buster or are they not?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, no question about it. So some terrific stuff from all of you. There's one more here I want to get to because, Matt, I want to get your thought on this. Our friend Simon Parkinson at Browns UK, Simon, tweets at us and says, disappointing. And he's got the D capitalized, as in that's where his one word of identity that we've asked all of you today. But he also asked this of us, Matt, of you, me, as he tweets at Browns _ daily. Are the Browns defensive tackles overrated based on their lack of production?
I would have to say yes. I really do. I think that, and if you ask them all, you know, personally, how would, and ask them to grade yourself. You know, how would you grade yourself? Are you playing the type of football season, you know, that you wanted to come out and play? Do you feel like you're playing well enough to deserve that high number in salary? And they'd be lying to you if they said yes, because you're not ranking where you rank. You know, you're not giving up the type of runs that you're giving up if you're doing your job and doing it consistently. So I do think in some cases, I don't think they're overrated as a group. They didn't look overrated going into the football season. But I do think at this point, with the price tags associated with those guys and the way in which they're playing right now, it's not matching up.
That is very good food for thought. And, you know, it's something I hope. That's a part of the little things that Mike Pettine is talking about
in terms of
what his message may be.
Sure.
During the course of this bye week. So we'll see. All right. Let's get we got our first hour in the books. So it's like the halftime break here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I'm Michael Regai in for Nathan Zagura today. Nathan is doing his work for ClevelandBrowns.com down in the locker room as the Browns came off the practice field. Matt Wilhelm, 57. You can get him on Twitter. And, of course, delighted to have Matt on the show. And you as well, 216-578-0850. And those of you that want to do it on Twitter, as I said, Matt at MattWilhelm57, at Michael Regai, at Nathan Zagura, and at Browns_daily. Great stuff today out of the mailbag from all of you on Twitter. Keep them coming. Who knows? We may have a little more time to sneak some in. We'll revisit some of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day, brought to you by good friends at OBM. That and a whole lot more. We're not going anywhere. You can't either. We need you for the second half. You better be ready to play. Petten would only have it that way.
We got to finish.
Don't come back into the dog bowl if you can. We love you. We want you here in the dog bowl. We'll see you in a minute. Give us a timeout. More Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, coming up.